From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. The static kill is now underway. Late this afternoon, BP announced that it had begun pumping heavy drilling fluid into its ruptured oil well in the Gulf of Mexico. The move comes after a day-long delay, and it's just the first in a series of steps meant to shut down the Macondo well for good. Engineers won't know for sure if the effort is successful until they finish drilling a relief well later this month.
Once the well is safely plugged, the federal government will shift its focus from the scale of the spill itself and stopping it to the scale of environmental damage it has caused. BP will be on the hook for that damage, but from wildlife to wetlands and everything in between, how do you quantify the harm caused by more than 4 million barrels of oil? Well, teams of state, federal, and BP investigators are now trying to do just that, as NPR's Elizabeth Shogren reports from the wetlands south of New Orleans.
Biologist Rich Takis and the rest of his team are heading out into the marshes to see just where BP oil has landed. Takis shows me a map of where we're going.
It's basically east of Grand Isle, almost due east.
Takis is a restoration specialist for NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
How much marsh was injured and what was that injury? That's the really big question, and if we don't have a gauge of that all along the way, we won't be able to come up with that total picture.
And will this be used to help calculate the bill for BP?
In the layman's terms, it could be, yes, it would be used to help calculate the bill for BP.
I'm trailing Takis and his team on a boat with Tom Brosnan, who coordinates the damage assessment for NOAA.
We have teams all across five states now doing this exact activity on a variety of types of shoreline. It could be wetlands, it could be mudflats, beaches.
Other teams are inspecting coral reefs, oyster beds, and deep water habitats. They're combing beaches for dead birds and marine mammals and collecting oil-coated carcasses of endangered sea turtles. Brosnan says once all the damages are calculated, the government will present BP a plan of restoration projects that are necessary to make up for what was destroyed by the oil. At that point, BP can do the restorations.
Or they can say, you know what, we don't want to implement these, we will pay you to implement these. And at that point, we can put a price tag on the restoration projects. So it can go either way.
It's way too early to quantify what BP will owe, but there's no question that restoring marshes will be a big part of what the company will have to do to make amends. These coastal wetlands are really valuable. They protect people from hurricanes and stock the Gulf with seafood. Even before the spill, Louisiana was losing acres of wetlands every day. We stop at one oily stretch of marsh after another.
You've got live hermit crabs.
Bob Nayland is a wetland scientist and a contractor for BP. Periwinkle dragonflies flit around him as he walks through thigh-high grass.
We've got a little band of oil. It's kind of isolated, but you can see it.
He shouts his observations back to the rest of the team on the boat. Another team member hops out to help him measure how deep the oil goes into the marsh.
Hold that out there at the edge of the veg. Yes, sir. Thank you. It's about 3.3 meters.
We stop at other marshes that are covered with a lot more oil. Brosnan says it's important for the inspectors to figure out what condition the oil is in.
Does it look relatively fresh? Is it sticky? You see him putting on gloves there. He's going to be touching the plants.
If the oil comes off easily, that means it's weathered and less likely to kill the grasses than if it's really sticky. Nayland forces a stick into the soil.
The reason he's doing that is sometimes the oil gets buried, or sometimes it might be on the surface of the sediment down below, and you can't see it in this muddy water. So they poke sticks down to see if you see a release of oil.
That's important because if the oil soaks into the soil, it's more likely to kill grasses than if it just stains part of the plant. Back at the marina, Takis says the isolated pockets of oily wetlands that we saw were similar to what they've been seeing most days. He says that's because the BP oil that comes ashore when the water is high has been staying in clumpy masses that settle down on the marshes when the high water recedes.
When you add up all those small spots, it's going to be a very sizable amount.
He says some of the marshes will recover, but BP will have to make up even for temporary impacts.
Because until the marsh is healthy again, it's not performing to its full potential. There are other cases where the marsh has been injured to a point where the grasses probably will die. The marsh may even erode and disappear.
BP contractor Bob Nalen is more optimistic. He says the best way for this ecology to mend is by leaving it alone.
Mother Nature has a wonderful way of recovery from episodes like this, and it's not an end of the world kind of thing.
Government scientists agree with Nalen on the data they're collecting, but not necessarily on his rosy outlook. Up until now, the government and BP have been collaborating. But when the government gets closer to handing BP a tally of the restorations it must do, the costs likely will be immense and the arguments furious. Elizabeth Shogren, NPR News.